Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are definitely going to be talking about mind power, brain power, in a way that I think you should find interesting, but more than that, it should make you excited about your own potentiality. You don't need to dumb yourself down. You need to realize that the aspect of learning and growth for you as a person, as an individual, in many ways is a do-it-yourself job. But how can this happen? What can you do? What is it about the brain that we are finding out that is dispelling old, old myths? Well, my guest today, Charlotte Tamino, is an absolutely individualistic type of a person, and she has a book called Awakening the Brain, and we're going to be finding out what she, as a researcher, has been able to discover. Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. It's delightful to be here.
Now, I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You're a clinical neuropsychologist. You've been in the work of working with people and study for over 30 years, and you've had a most unique positioning that very few lay people would even know how to associate with, and that is people that have gone through traumatic brain damage, and they've lost a lot of the brain functions. And you also have a different perspective because you are including spirituality in the combination of working with people. And you are a full-time clinician and private practice in White Plains, New York. You have broken through, as very few people have, into the understanding of working with the brain in a different way. Let's step back in time a little bit. I would like to know why, number one, you were intrigued by this, why you chose a profession that deals with the brain. What is it that intrigued you? Did you have family members that were specialists, surgeons? Were they in the medical field? What turned you on to dare to be a maverick exploring arenas that other people would have said, don't waste your time with?
Oh, this is a great question. Thank you, Donna. Well, actually, I'm gonna share two things with you, and your enthusiasm is kind of moving me into it in a new way. My first interest in this had to do with my own spiritual experience, because before I became a doctor, I was a nun.
Oh, my.
Yes. And I lived in silence for 3 years in the novitiate with the Maryknoll missioners. And I had wonderful experiences of connectedness with that which is greater than myself. And I began to really get very curious about that. Now, this was way back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to leave the community, I was fascinated by my own experience and wanting to understand it because I had no words for it. And psychology was what I was drawn to, but most of the psychology that I found was focused on pathology rather than potential. And it was when I came across neuropsychology that I lit up and knew this was the most hopeful message. This is the message that had the greatest possibilities. And so I started to pursue it. But along that way, my older sister also had a brain injury from a toxic exposure from a gas leak in her townhouse in Ann Arbor.
And oh, my goodness.
It was a brand new townhouse, and the water tank was leaking gas.
Oh,
and so,
wow.
Yeah, nobody really knew much about toxic encephalopathy back in those days, and I didn't know anything about it either until in my studies in neuropsychology I learned about it, and we were able to get her more effective help. But it became a passion for me after going through that with my family and with my sister and as a family member myself to realize what a huge impact this has on everybody. And so I pursued that. I've been pursuing it for 30 years. I developed my own treatment model that also provides for the family members and lots of dimensions of the adjustment that people need to go through. And I've loved every minute of it. It's been enormously challenging, and the challenges have kept moving me forward. And now it's moved me to a point of writing a book so that I can put the whole treatment model I developed in the book for anybody who's looking to find.
In the very first page of your first chapter, which is titled The Awakening Brain, I want to quote from that. In the first paragraph, the more awake you are to what is going on and to the possibilities of what could be, the more effective you become. The more information you can impart to others, the more aware they are of their choices, the more aware you are of the thoughts, emotions, sensations, and actions that are a part of your experience, the more awake and better able you are to choose your direction. Wow, that to me is so important. And you mentioned a term in your introduction called brain freeze. I myself have gone through something like that. I know most of my listeners probably at one time or another have gone through that. Mm. Well, your brain just sort of goes into the duh mode.
Yeah, some of the patients call it some of the patients call it the screensaver coming on.
I'll shift my word. I call it brain freeze. I'll just say my screensaver isn't working.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that. I love that. New consciousness, you say.
Yes, new consciousness. That's where we are. We have a consciousness of ourself now that's very different.
There is so much that is happening. I have been around children. I've been doing public appearances the past few weekends. And I have had more 2- and 3-year-olds that all of a sudden will walk into the booth that I'm working in. And that and puppies, it just seems, I don't know, there's a magnet of some kind there. And
all right.
I find these 2-year-olds sitting and having conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
And their poor parents don't know what to do with them. And I look at these 2-year-olds who are so articulate, and I think, oh my goodness, this is showing a whole new dimension of the brain activity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And anybody that talks to me about little ones and saying, gee whiz, you know, they couldn't possibly know this, that, or the other, I look at them and I say, you'd have got to be kidding.
Exactly.
I am holding an intelligent conversation with a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm,
now, we're not talking physics, but we are talking. We are communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And when a 2-year-old says to the parent, don't bother me, I'm busy, I'm looking at this and I'm going, don't dumb down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume they don't know. Now, the brain in a child like this, anybody will say it's expansion. You have been dealing with patients that go through trauma. They are now aware that the brain is elastic. The brain, the little gray cells, like Hercule Poirot of Agatha Christie fame, says he's got to feed them properly. She was on to something a long time ago that we're finally realizing. The brain is a living thing, and even with injury, it can be expanding and growing. What is your most interesting experience that you had that really awakened you to this understanding?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, the person that comes to mind is a woman, a very strong and independent woman who was an IV nurse at a hospital, and she had an aneurysm that actually ran in her family, and a number of people in her family had had aneurysms, but hers was in her brain. And the reason why her story comes to mind is because when she was referred to me by the neurologist at the rehabilitation center, he said that, and this is neurological lingo, he said that the natural history of the lesion meaning what other people have achieved with this before her. The natural history of this lesion was that she would never be independent, she would never talk and walk, she would never be able to have her life again. He gave me everything she would never do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he treated her in that more acute phase and then referred her on to me, which has to do with this phase of getting settled into another life. And I listened and I accepted what he said because he'd done it a lot longer than I had. But I also watched her and listened to her. Now, one of the keys to this for me that I'm very clear about is that I'm really glad I was a nun before I was a doctor, because I know about the power of belief. And
mm-hmm.
I think that trumps everything.
Oh, I agree.
And this lady believed that he didn't know what he was talking about. She believed she was going to overcome this. And she was determined not to settle for anything less. So when I hear that, I follow that more than anything. And this lady took 5 years in treatment, which I think is about the longest I've worked with somebody. And she persisted. She started with piano. She started with painting by numbers. She got her fine motor skills back. She got her speaking skills back. We did cognitive rehab. We had her in group therapy where she had to interact with people and get into the rhythm of conversation again. You know, she travels all over the world now by herself. She just popped into my office last week to get a copy of my book with a friend of hers and was telling me about she's going to Vermont in another week or two. This is so beyond what anybody thought at the time she went through it, that it completely eliminates what we think we know and opens us to the power of possibility, depending on what they believe.
I think that that has to be one of the most exciting and invigorating positionings of awareness to be in.
Yes.
And to be able to implement on a one-on-one level with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with your credentials, that gives you that extra oomph. But it's the patient that was the teacher for you in this profound experience. And
yes.
I think that's what happens. I think when we interact with people in a counseling, helpful teacher mode, they always teach us. They
mm-hmm.
always teach us if we can listen. And I think you're sharing the information about those 3 years where you had to be quiet,
mm-hmm.
where you had to listen,
where
you didn't have all the noise going on all the time that's bombarding you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that is incredibly powerful. And you have some statements in here that I think are very important. One is that you advise your patients to avoid taking on a diagnostic label as an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is significant. You do. I mean, how many of us will say, I've got this label, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am cancer, I am diabetic, I am this.
Depression.
I am black, I'm white,
yeah.
I'm an alien from Bongo Bongo, I'm this, I'm that or the other. We
yes.
all do it
yes.
because we have been indoctrinated to do that. To undo that
mm-hmm.
is the challenge. And your words, your expectation shapes your perception. Your
Absolutely.
Expectation shapes your perception.
If you look for it, you will find it.
Yes. And I really think that this is important. Now, in a nutshell, can you give us a description on neuroplasticity?
Mm-hmm.
Because
sure.
I think that this is so exciting. I know I've had material cross my desk for the past couple of years on this. I think it is wonderful. Let's have a thumbnail sketch, please.
Well, this is why I found neuropsychology to be the most hopeful area that I had come across, because what we know is that what you focus on, what you engage your thoughts on, what you sustain emotion about, you become. And so people really can worry themselves to death. And people really can overcome things that no one else has ever done. It all depends on what you focus on, which engages the neurons. And Dr. Hebb said many years ago, the neurons that fire together wire together. So one day, there was once a day when you didn't know how to drive a car. You were a passenger. Mm-hmm. And then you got behind the wheel and you didn't know where to put your feet, your hands, your eyes. You didn't quite know what to do. But neuroplasticity, by doing it over and over again slowly, neuroplasticity let your brain adapt, and you built a neural network of neurons that talk to each other automatically. They fire together and wire together. And you changed your identity into a driver. And it's the same thing with a musician. Same thing with a writer. I had to learn to type to write that book.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do it, and if you persist, as long as you don't quit, as long as you persist, I'm older, I'm 66 now, and so it took me a little longer than it would have if I had stuck to it when I was younger. But nonetheless, it becomes automatic. And when you have that automatic neural network that neuroplasticity has allowed you to develop in your brain, it changes who you are.
And that's so exciting.
Isn't it?
That is so exciting.
The one label we all want is the label of possibility.
Yes. And I think it is phenomenal. And I think that if someone wants to shift from being a professor at a university to knowing how to be a master gardener, go for
mm-hmm.
it. Try
mm-hmm.
it. Because you're going to be expanding those skills and talents that you all disciplines that you already utilized into another modality.
Mm-hmm,
it's marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And because someone is older, you're in your 60s, here you are, great. You have this marvelous world in front of you of exploration that's enabled you to make a breakthrough where
mm-hmm.
all of your past years of experience and day-to-day interaction with people is compounding.
It just
and that's
builds.
Where
I'll tell you another story about that, if you'd like.
Sure.
While I was writing the book and I realizing I really had to learn to type, I was trying to do it, and it got discouraging because as I was typing, of course, when I looked at the page on the word processing, all the words were underlined in red. Every time you make a mistake, it's underlined in red. Everywhere was red. And after a while, that got discouraging. So I have the benefit of being awake, though, about what my brain can do. And I remembered a study that I had heard about that compared two groups of people learning how to play the piano. And one group was, they each had the same lessons, but one group practiced on a piano and the other group practiced on a silent keyboard and couldn't hear anything. They each practiced for the same amount of time and had the same lessons. Which group do you think ended up playing better?
The one on the silent keyboard?
The one on the silent keyboard, because they could not hear their mistakes. It didn't stop them, and they kept going. They didn't get discouraged, and they kept practicing without interruption.
Amazing.
Now, I knew that, so what I ended up doing after getting discouraged with all the red on my screen is I started typing looking out the window, because I didn't want to know. I knew I had to train my brain. I knew I have neuroplasticity. I knew I could develop a neural network that would make my thoughts of the words come out my fingers correctly. So I just typed looking out the window until I got it right.
Wow. That is phenomenal.
Isn't
That's
that
great?
Yeah.
That is awesome. I think so many times, because of different indoctrinations we've received,
sure,
that to replace those indoctrinations, we are often at a loss and will stick with certain patternings because we don't know what to put in the void that if we eliminate the one,
mm-hmm.
we've got
then
to put something
got?
Else in. And there, my mentor many years ago said to me, Donna, nature abhors a void.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get rid of a particular habit, there needs to be something in place
mm-hmm.
through repetition that is going to fill that void so you can get rid of what you don't want.
Exactly.
Now,
perfect.
Give us, there's a wonderful story you have about a little girl, Barbara.
mm-hmm.
who, when she first came to you, she was having a terrible time in school, and this child was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Just
brilliant.
Really
oh,
intelligent.
Yeah.
But she had a problem visually. And mm-hmm. who knows, we might have somebody listening that might call themselves dumb, and it's not being dumb at all. It's a part of the brain that's not working. Mm-hmm. Share with us what you did with this child.
Sure, sure. Well, this little girl came to me because her parents had some testing that was done in the school, and it showed that her verbal skills were way up at the 99th percentile. But when they tested her ability to put together puzzles and see patterns and use the visual scanning of her eyes, she was way down at the 13th percentile. She had two cognitive functions at the opposite ends of the pole. Now, when that happens, it makes kids very anxious. They can't quite sort things out. And her father said if he rode his bicycle with her to the corner store, she could not find her way home. That will make you very anxious.
Oh,
so all the people who might be listening who have trouble finding their car in the parking lot, this might be for you.
Well, we won't admit to the times that that happens, but okay, let's go
for it. But now we have the key that will make it beep, and so we can find it.
Yes, good call. Okay, let's go for it.
So when she came in, we did some additional testing, and we were able to see that she was processing information visually in a way that she missed most of it. And so we recommended that her parents bring her in for remediation of this learning disability that she had. Now, not many people at that time were working with this, because we were doing brain rehabilitation with people with injuries, and you can train the brain even easier when you haven't had an injury because you're not recovering from trauma, right?
Yes, so, I wouldn't believe so.
Yeah. So we just started teaching her through what we call verbal mediation. Now, she's brilliant verbally, so she can mediate and talk her way through what she sees. So we explained to her she has to start at one point and be systematic and talk her way through what she sees. And so we used that as a tool to help her with all kinds of visual tasks, whether they were computerized, whether they were drawing, whether they were constructing things, lots and lots of visual tasks. And she did very well. Her anxiety reduced. She was doing much better in school. And so after about 2 years, she stopped coming and was doing fine. Several years later, she came back in high school because she needed extended time on her tests, and so her parents wanted to get her tested again. And we rarely get a chance to see kids we've treated because there's just no point to do multiple testings otherwise. But this time mm-hmm. she came back for the testing, and we tested her again. And again, her verbal skills were up at the 97th percentile. But this time, her IQ, which I was taught doesn't change, her IQ in the visual domain went from the 13th to the 45th percentile, which is normal. Well, I was just delighted to see that because it was the proof of the value of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing so well. But it even got better than that. When she went to college, she needed the testing again for extended time because her processing speed is slow. So her parents brought her back again at the end of her freshman year in college, and we retested her. And again, her verbal skills were the same, 99th percentile. Now her visual skills were all the way up to the 75th percentile, which is above average.
Oh, my goodness. How exciting.
That's neuroplasticity right there. That's the adaptability. If you work it, it just keeps changing.
Now, with mature people, mm-hmm. this is something that there would be individuals that would challenge you on this, that would say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. When you get older, the cells in the brain are dying. Well, they've been dying since the day you were born, for heaven's sake.
Well, I was actually taught that. I was actually taught that in graduate school back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that's not true anymore.
Correct. But all the cells in the body can continue to rejuvenate.
Yes.
And you make a comment in your book about how children respond to treatment without thought or without an already developed rationale.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we're coming sort of full circle with what you were talking about with beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like your one woman who said, I don't care what the doctor says. That's a bunch of crap. Right. I need somebody I can work with. Thank you very much. Now, the physician was in his particular modality because he has adopted his training, which is not all bad.
Well, that's all he had seen. That's all he had seen.
That's all. And that's, that was the limitation of the world that he was in.
Yes.
And his exposure was in that pattern. Yet, something made him aware of you, and he said, go over to talk with Charlotte. And so here's Charlotte, and this woman probably said, thank heavens, I finally got someone that I'm going to be able to work with.
Well, I think he thought I was going to help her get adjusted in assisted living.
Correct.
And surprise, surprise.
And that's where you said, we have got another situation. Now, it took some time. And that's something I think that's very frustrating to people, is that it takes time. Well, just like you were talking about learning to drive a car or ride a bike, you have to work at it. There is something that goes on. It's sort of like a friend of mine who's 91 years of age. She is just an absolute doll. And she made a comment to me, and this involves the brain. She said when she stopped walking on a regular basis, when she stopped using her body, this was when she was in her 80s. She was about 87 when she stopped doing this because she had gotten married at 85. She was a young bride. And she got married. And so she got married, and she told me, this is just about a month ago. She said, Donna, the biggest mistake I made was when I stopped the walking because I have had a problem with balance. So we talked about it, and I told her about the system of exercise that I was using, and I said, it's not stressful, but it'll help you develop the core, and it'll help your brain to process the balancing that you need. She said, great. And she had started back in a walking routine because she was concerning. She was very concerned about the fact that at 91, her body was not doing what she knew that it could have done if she had paid attention.
I like this lady.
So here's a woman at 91 who gets excited. Whenever we get together and we chat, she goes, oh, this is wonderful. I just love this. Her mind, her attitude, her whole demeanor about, I have the right to be able to enjoy life to the fullest. And, of course, when she got married at 85, that just tickled me no end. And she's just very happy. She has a very rich and full life, but she has this wonderful attitude about, I may be 91, and I didn't even know she was 91. I figured she was still in her 80s somewhere. I don't keep up well with time. And this, to me, is just a wonderful example of what someone can look forward to.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Her label is possibility, definitely, and she's going for them.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the emotional side of self. By the way, would you stay with me for about another 15 minutes? We're going to be going on break shortly. Wonderful. Charlotte Tomaino is my guest. Her book is Awakening the Brain. The subtitle is The Neuropsychology of Grace. If you think I'm a little bit overly excited about it, good. I am excited because I work with people all the time. And one of the things that has been a part of my life for so much of my work as a counselor in my broadcasting is showing you, the audience, that there are possibilities and you have the capability of making your life richer than you could ever imagine. But this is a do-it-yourself job. And she works with brain traumas. That's fabulous. This is giving a gift to a lot of people. And with this book, Awakening the Brain, you can gift yourself. Now, one of the things that I want to touch on, Charlotte, is the emotional side. And I know we've only got about a minute, but let's, before we go on break, describe what the emotional side is and how it works in the brain, if you could give me just a thumbnail.
Well, a thumbnail and the most concise statement I can give you is that emotion is information. And emotion happens within us as we react and light up with that that delights us and surprises us and that which scares us and that we withdraw from. It just happens. But the cortex, our thought process, is actually more in charge. it's information that we can choose from. We're not ruled by.
We are going to be talking about, when we come back, knowing how to breathe, how to shift our focus, and how to think about what we want mm-hmm. instead of what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a neural choice. And it can give you power in your life that maybe you never believed was possible. My guest today is Charlotte Tomino. She is going to be staying with me for the next quarter hour. Awakening the Brain is what we're talking about. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, if you missed the first part, we are with an author, Charlotte Tomino. Her research into the work of the brain, it is not just this massive blob that's in your head that most of the time in the past it has been said, well, as you get older, it's going to get calcified, you're not going to have anything to work with. Her book, Awakening the Brain, dispels a lot of ignorant myths. And life is a process of learning. You're never, ever going to know it all. But, boy, you can have a great adventure and a wonderful journey when you're willing to open your mind and your attitudes to possibilities. And, Charlotte, thank you for staying with me longer. Let's go back to the emotional aspect mm-hmm. of dealing in the brain, because it's so important to be mindful, to know that you have a choice. And there have been times in my life where I have actually watched things go on in my brain. And this can happen even in meditation. And you'll get all of this busyness and all of this conversation, and you're seeing this, you're seeing that, you're seeing the other, or feeling it. And dependent on how you work as an individual. And you do have choice, but it takes a time to determine what those choices are. And if you don't know, it's always good to ask questions. But you talk about the glass ceiling relative to emotions. I call it pushing the buttons. Mm-hmm. Every one of us has that side. What did you find in your research?
Well, the glass ceiling is the concept that I started using back in the 70s and 80s when women were not progressing in their careers in corporate settings, and nobody knew how far they could go, but there seemed to be some limit that we couldn't define. And the same thing is true of people's emotions and symptoms that limit their ability to function. So when we're freaking out, we're not thinking too well. You know, how many times have all of us said, what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Later, afterwards, and the answer is, you weren't thinking because you couldn't. When you get the fight and flight response, it actually shuts off the blood flow to the thinking parts of your brain. So you can't think. It sends all the blood to your arms, your legs, and it makes you hyper-focus on the problem. It actually shuts off your digestive and your immune system as well. So this is really not a good state for us. We're not very effective, and it's for emergency use only. But in fact, a lot of people driving down the highway are in that emergency state all the time. And so one of the things I started helping the patients and started learning for myself, you know, the teacher is the one that learns the most, is that I could just use emotion as information. If I'm driving down the highway and somebody cuts me off and I get a big rush, I know that I can just breathe. I can make what I call a neuro choice. I can make a choice to manage my nervous system and not become that. I'm in charge of that. And one of the techniques, as you just mentioned, meditation, when you learn to, in meditation to breathe in and out, it actually regulates your heart rate and your nervous system. So when that happens to me, I breathe in and out very evenly. You can do it for a minute, and your heart will slow down. Your shoulders, you want to bring your shoulders down from around your ears and relax them. When you do that alone, you think much more broadly, much more clearly. You're nicer to be with yourself, and you're nicer to be with for others, because it shifts the emotion that drives you. So this
and
is a neuro choice to manage your emotion and take the information from the emotion, but not become it.
What is the difference between men and women when it comes to this? I know for myself, and I've known many, many women that have said this to me, we have had this trauma in the family. Well, what did you do? Well, we did this, that, or the other. This morning, in our family, we got news about a very special friend who died last night. Mm-hmm. Well, immediately, I went into the mode, well, let's make a list, let's do this, let's do that, let's mm-hmm. do the other, mm-hmm. and this was just some, and okay, and the person that had gotten the news was sort of more in the distress, they're not aware of it, but they were more in the distress of having mm-hmm. lost a very
yeah.
good
yeah.
friend. And so I said, all right, now remember this, and remember that, and you just go ahead and you do this. It's great you've got this. Let me go get the information for you. Now, this is how frequently I have found throughout my life, even when I was a child, that I responded
mm-hmm,
to things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just something almost that was programmed
natural.
Into me.
It's
just
for
something
you.
That's there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those people that don't have that. Men sometimes have it. I've known men that have been able to take over emergency situations because they've been able to train. What's the difference between the genders? Is there a difference?
Well, you know, we don't want to be too black and white because there's really a lot of variability. But one of the things that
True.
We're seeing, because of the difference in testosterone and estrogen, is that we often have these different immediate reactions. And it's pretty clear, actually. It's now popularly being called the difference between the fight-and-flight response and the tend
mm-hmm.
and befriend response. So under a really threatening situation, a very disturbing situation, often men are reacting to it and going after it, and women are tending and befriending and stabilizing and fixing and soothing and healing. So it's a very different response, which is much more our natural bents and our natural differences. And there's a lot of research that's coming out on this now that, you know, any extreme isn't good for anybody. So women can get into the tend and befriend and lose themselves as well.
Yes, that's true.
Balance is the key.
Mm-hmm.
But we have very different responses, and letting women can get too involved and make people dependent on them, make their kids
mm-hmm.
dependent on them, you know, the helicopter parents.
Right.
They're hovering
all
the time.
We have too much of that. We
yeah.
have too much of that. And
kids
there's
have
the helicopter
to figure it out.
Thinking.
They have to, yeah, they have to learn to figure it out. They have to learn each step of their lives to take on challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
anything can be too much of an extreme, and all of us have our immediate reaction. But that's the biggest difference that I see.
I just absolutely love the down-to-earth layman presentation that you have in Awakening the Brain. And as I told you before I went on air, my bookkeeper, I told her about the book, because she's always loved anything that has to do with research and medicine and this type of thing. And she read the book. I loaned her my book. I said, you go ahead and read it. I got to have it by a certain date because I've got an interview coming up. And she said, okay. Well, she finished it in 2 days.
Oh.
She was just absolutely thrilled. She said, I've got to have my own copy because this is marvelous. And she said, this is something that is so important. Now, there is the brain gym. Mm. And how did that impact your working with people? What is the brain gym, and why was it effective?
Well, first I want to say, if you would please tell your bookkeeper that she made my day, because my whole point in writing this is that I have so much information from 30 years of doing this that I want neuropsychology to be relevant and useful. And people are looking for this science and spirituality to come together now. We're getting a lot of that now. How is this all coming together now? So you really tell her she made my day. That's really my goal.
I will tell her.
Okay, good. So then let's talk about the brain gym. And I think by that you're talking about what we use as the term for the room where we do cognitive rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can exercise the muscles of your arms or legs in the gym and make them stronger, and we call that office in my practice the brain gym, because that's where we have all the bells and whistles. We have the different tasks that are manipulative, that are on computers, that you listen to, that you look at, all the different tasks that will target a very specific spot in the brain that we want to strengthen. And if in the extensive testing that we do in neuropsychological evaluations, we can pinpoint exactly where that glitch is, we have all these bells and whistles that we can engage people in tasks, just like little Barbara, who increased her IQ. And just by doing these different tasks on all variety of them and continuing to keep doing them, those pathways that fire together, wire together, and actually become your automatic response that you can rely on, not something you stumble through or become the deer in the headlights over.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have people, once we figure out what the problem is, actually before we send them to the brain gym, we teach them these breathing techniques and ways to control their stress, because sometimes it is stressful and we want them to be in charge. So that's the first thing we do, is teach them how to manage those stress reactions that just come and startle them, and then send them to the brain gym where they take on all these different tasks to strengthen all those pathways that they want to have stable and reliable so that they can perform the way they want to live their life.
Well, I know we're just about out of time. This has been a wonderful, wonderful subject, and I'm so grateful for you extending your time with me. Awakening the Brain, Charlotte Tamaino is my guest. I encourage you to check this out. And the reason I do is because I want you to know, those of you listening, that if you have, like I've experienced, brain fog, brain freeze, if you're getting older and you say, oh, well, this is normal, no, it doesn't have to be normal. If you're younger and you're going to college and you feel that you're just going to burn out, you're not going to burn out. But this book has so much in it regarding not just the practical everyday life, but also the touch of understanding your deeper spiritual self. And whatever your belief system is, this is something that can be balanced, and I think it opens up a realm of awareness of the greatness that you really do have inside of you in your own particular individual way. Now, awakeningthebrain.com is the website that you'll go to, awakeningthebrain.com. And do you have a statement you would like to share with my audience, Charlotte, before we close out our chat today?
Well, I would like everybody to take on the label of anything is possible. And on my website, I invite you to come and read some of the information and some of the stories and join the discussion, because we have articles there and opportunities for you to share both your questions and seek other people who have that information. And I'm finding people all over the country that are reading the book and are connecting and looking for information. And so that's my goal, to make neuroplasticity not only possible, but relevant, useful, and something people are really engaging in to become the best that they desire in their life.
I think it's wonderful. And I just love all the different perspectives that you have in here and the various techniques that you recommend for breathing, et cetera. And for those of you listening, it is so comfortable to read. Good illustrations, good information. Charlotte Tomaino, and her last name is spelled T-O-M-A-I-N-O. I really appreciate your spending time with me today. Thank you so much for being my guest. Check out our website, Awakening the Brain. Donna Siebel here. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. A few points of information. Yes, the last weekend of the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair is coming. I'm going to be there available for many consultations. Come on out. It's just dynamic. And I just want to thank those of you that have stopped by. I've had people stop by and say, Donna, I've been listening to your show. I just really, really enjoy it. And that means a lot to me. I appreciate that feedback. And I'm just so delighted that you are able to perhaps come on out again this weekend. The Royal Court's going to be there. And this is the weekend where people come out in huge numbers so they can share their costumes and the masks, because there is a big mask theme that goes on. But check it out at the WashingtonFair.com, Washington, F-A-I-R-E.com. You'll have all the details there. Also, an avatar is coming to the Seattle area. Now, he's lovingly known as Yogi Raj, and he's going to be doing some events, and I'm getting more information about a third event that's been scheduled, but right now what I have is Saturday, August the 25th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Asian Resource Center at 1025 South King Street in Seattle, 98104. There is a healing and enlightenment workshop that is being given for free. This is very interactive, and donations are accepted if you choose to give one. Also, on Friday, August 31st to Monday, September 3rd, there is the Kundalini Kriya Yoga with Yogi Raj, and its location is at Fort Worden, Port Townsend. Now, each of these events will give you the opportunity to learn about the ancient Himalayan knowledge for self-mastery. That's right. So, for more information, go to sidhanath.org or email sidhanath.org, and that's spelled S-I-D-D like Donna, H-A-N like Nellie, A-T-H. And if you want, you can call for reservations at 909-907-9605. Well, there's so much going on this week. Well, my goodness, there's always something going on the Donna Siebel Show. But tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Dale Cox. Now, he was supposed to have been on with me a week ago, but he was traveling, and we weren't able to have him on the show. But he is going to be sharing with us top secret information about a top secret flight. Conspiracy theorists will really enjoy this because it shows certain things about government that are fact, but more than that, it is talking about a period of time when the American involvement really made a difference in a war, and we'll be discussing that as well. And then, on Friday, military response to UFO activity, Dr. Stephen Cox is going to be with us. Yes, we have two Coxes, one right back behind the other. And, oh, I forgot to mention, Yogi Raj is going to be with us also on Thursday. He is going to be sharing a little bit of time. His schedule is very intense, but he's going to be with us, so we'll be talking about the upcoming classes and the retreat. But regardless, we've got some wonderful, wonderful people that are going to be with us for the rest of this week. And, my goodness, talking about ghosts, innovation, history, Africa, all of this and more, and health information, that's coming up next week. If you want to check out the details, go to BBS and look at show information, and you'll see a brief write-up that's there. But also, you can also go to my website, if you like, DelphiInternational.com, and in my monthly newsletter, I always have a listing of guests. So you'll have that opportunity right there. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008 if you would like to chat with me today. Elaine Maxwell is a woman that had a strong attitude about how life should be lived. She said, "My will shall shape my future. Whether I fail or succeed shall be no man's doing but my own. I am the force. I can clear any obstacle before me, or I can be lost in a maze. My choice, my responsibility, win or lose, only I hold the key to my destiny." Those are very, very powerful words from a woman that walked a path in life that was challenging in so many ways. But who of us don't have challenges? We all do, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's when we recognize, that we are the ones that control what we put into our brain, what we bring into our lives, we have choice. And I can't tell you how many people I've encountered from different environments that were told they had no choice, either by their cultural environment, by the political environment, by whatever. Oh, you don't have any choice. And when you can find out that you do have choice, and the choice of self-education is yours to make, the choice of saying no to what you don't want is your choice. It gives you an individuality. It gives you a sense of purpose. It gives you a sense of value and self-respect, self-esteem. No one can give that to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your economic base is. I don't care what your educational base is. You have to earn who you are. You must earn that self-respect. Because if you can't give it to yourself, how are you going to give it to someone else? So you need to honor and respect who you are. And that's what my guest today, to me, was so very, very important. Because of the wisdom and the knowledge, the science, the technology, the understanding that we're more than what we can possibly dream. We're more than that. That makes all the difference in the world. And when you can share that with a child, when you can teach that to a child, when you can teach the child within yourself, maybe that's not how you were taught, when you can do that for yourself, wow, you are phenomenal. When you change who you believe you are to the greatness of what's within you, and you take that step, that is going to ripple out and touch everyone that comes in contact with you. People will say, "I don't know, I'd love to have some of what you've got." How do you do it? It's called self-investment. We talk a lot about financial planning and everything else, but how many times do we ever hear from someone, invest in yourself because that's the best place to put your time, your effort, and your money and attention. It's true. It makes a difference. Don't be a copycat of everybody else. Thinking for yourself is a process that you have to learn. It's not something that just you add water, powder, and mix. It doesn't happen that way. It's a process. And delight in it. It's a good thing. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're out of time. It's been wonderful sharing this time with you today. Thank you for joining me. And won't you join me again tomorrow and any other day, Monday through Friday? I'm going to be here with you for a full hour sharing the wisdom, insight, fun, stories, whatever, with people that I have the delight to be able to interview. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.